Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I did not see this one coming. This was not on my bingo card. From the New York Post, breaking up is hard to do for men. That is because men care more about being in a relationship than women, according to a new study. Researchers at Humboldt University in Berlin are pouring cold water on the popular belief that girls, women, are more desperate for a partner, saying that guys are more likely to experience loneliness after calling it quits and are less likely to see the silver lining in the situation. The team analyzed more than 50 scientific studies on gender differences in heterosexual relationships to come up with their findings. The results could explain why men are less likely than women to initiate a breakup when in a steady relationship. 70% of divorces, by the way, are initiated by women. Men are also more likely to search for a partner and to be focused on entering into a serious relationship, perhaps because they have more to gain.
Huh.
I would have never guessed that.
It makes sense to me.
Just more quiet about it, I guess.
What, you mean we internalize the pain from the breakup?
Well, men aren't allowed to talk about their emotions.
I don't think that's true anymore, do you?
No, I don't think it's true like it was.
I think it's changing, but it certainly the stigma still exists.
Would you all like to talk about your emotions right now?
It's not on the air.
Three men in here. I mean, how are you feeling today, Scott?
I feel good.
Share with me. Good. Dan, how you doing? Good? We good over there in the
news booth? Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all right.
All right.
You're all right.
I'm all right.
That's a little tepid.
Yeah, my left foot hurts.
Let's unpeel this onion, Dan. What's going on?
Deal with the... We didn't get a podiatrist on staff here for the two of you?
I have a broken toe. I don't have... plantar fasciitis like him.
I tell you what, that stuff hurts. Oof.
Sam, how are we doing over there?
I have never been better.
Okay, good.
Feeling great.
Is that the truth?
Yeah.
Or you just don't want to talk about your feelings?
Both.
Did you guys... Go ahead, Dan.
I think in society, we fail to notice or recognize that men, as simple as we are also very complex creatures with... certain needs and desires and wants for comfort and all this stuff that just doesn't really get reinforced through
Sam.
Our modern society.
Well, I am here to reinforce your need, men, all of you listening, for comforting. It is a human need. Lean into it. I'm being dead serious.
What's a human need?
The need for being comforted and soothed and happy and companionship, like all those things.
Being the one who graduated from college and high school most recently, women have a easier time finding that companionship more quickly after a breakup.
Well, we have our girlfriends too.
Two.
Well, and it
as an outlet.
I don't want to sound sexist, so I'm just going to stop talking.
No, it's okay.
Oh no, please do.
Please do. No, just
sound sexist.
Lay it on thick.
Well, there's this thing called the roster, and I've never heard of a man who has a roster. And all throughout college and high school, I was friends with many women who had, quote, rosters.
I've never heard that term in my entire life.
The backup for the rebound?
Like, yep.
Like when the breakup happens, I'm going straight for
We're going to string these three, four, five guys along.
Oh.
And if something happens to my relationship that I'm not really that committed to, hey, Dave.
What kind of world did you
Let's
grow
bat.
Up
Batter up.
That's
yep.
terrible.
The modern world.
Ed, you are on deck. On deck, Ed. On deck, circle.
That's 100% how it went. And I said, I never knew of a single guy that had a roster.
You know, Sam, it is correct. It's not everybody.
This doesn't the whole bench over there.
Well,
it happens with a lot of people. And for men, once you've been in a relationship for a while and you've got a reason for existing.
I will say this. I don't think I've ever told you
And then you
this.
Don't?
Yeah.
When something happened in my life about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I went into a horrible depression. You know that.
Yes.
You witnessed that. But then T and I, who we went to high school together, kind of reconnected, and we went to have pizza at Papa Kino's in Lawrence one Saturday afternoon.
Love that place.
And we just sat out there. And she had been, she's a widow, and her late husband died like 2-3 years ago. I think it was, well, actually now it's 4. And I've got this big, stupid house, and I'm living there by myself now. Everybody's moved out. I mean, I gave empty nester a new definition.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And originally the plan was she was going to live in the basement, and we were just going to be roommates. Because she was very lonely living in her house in Lansing with her kid was off at college. Her husband had passed, sadly. And I was now alone. All my kids were either professional or in college. Yes. And I said, you know, I've got this big stupid house. Why don't you live in the basement? It's got its own bathroom and living room. And
Dana comes over once in a while to wash her hair.
That's true.
I tried and failed to get you to sell that house. I said, sell that house. Go live on the plaza in one of those condos. You'll be around people. You've got a park right there, and you wouldn't do it.
I love it. I love that. But anyway, so we were going to be just roommates, and then life happens. And,
yeah, sure. You know,
somehow she ends up on the second floor, and then she ends up in my bed. And
okay, all right.
From the text line, as a woman, Sam is 100% correct.
Oh.
Sam, my sons are your age. You're 1,000% correct. And then Sam, so you just assume that all women have rosters and men don't? Really? That's not what I said.
I had never even heard of the roster.
Look it's it up. It's a real phenomenon.
I mean, there's a lot of women that will be in a position of what do you call it?
Just dating.
Being prepared for catastrophe. So I've got to make sure I've got all this stuff just in case something happens.
Yeah.
You know, and that's part of it.
Nearly 30 years since the unsolved murder of JonBenet Ramsey.
Aha!
Her father said he has great hope that police are on the right track to finally solve her killing. I don't need to tell you about JonBenet.
No, but he finally met with them after how many years?
Her murder dominated headlines, transfixed the public, but for decades has remained unsolved. The case saw her parents and brother cast under a cloud of suspicion. We all know about that. John Ramsey, who is now 81, said he has not given up on solving the case. He met with the new Boulder police chief on Monday of this week and said it was the first time in 28 years that he felt that the case was in good hands.
Yeah, you remember that relationship went south very quickly between Boulder police and the family. He is hopeful through new testing technology, they will be able to test the DNA using the genealogy stuff that we talk about on this program all the time, Scott, to work backward to figure out who killed that child.
Well, I hope so.
For his sake. 80, did you say 81?
81 years old.
My God.
Right.
Because Patsy died of cancer how many years ago?
15.
They, at least in his lifetime, how, if we can catch the Golden State Killer, how and why have we not figured out who that DNA belongs to?
Well, what we need is somebody's relative to go do a 23andMe. Patsy Ramsey died 19 years ago.
Mm. God, that documentary, I can't get it out of
my
head.
She was only 49 years old.
Very young. Very, very young. Hmm.
All right. Tell
when, when we get back, there is
why,
a law.
Why are you uncomfortable?
There's also video. There is a lawsuit out of Michigan. A woman tried to use one of those apps to catch a ride. You've got Uber out there. You've got Lyft, maybe a couple of others. This happened to be Lyft, and she tried to get a ride, and the Lyft driver refused to give her a ride in his car. She has shared the video of the failed pickup. It happened January 19th. And it has gone viral. When the driver pulled up and saw her, she says he locked his doors and would not let her get in. And we'll tell you why when we get back. This is a lawsuit. And I will ask, do you have a right to a Lyft or an Uber? And does the Uber driver that owns that car have the right to say, I don't want you in my car for any reason? We could.
Well, there are some reasons you have to let them in.
Well, you can deny them a ride because they're too drunk.
Mm-hmm.
You
okay.
can deny them a ride because they are unkept.
You can't deny them a ride because they're black.
That's not what happened here.
That is a protected class. That's right.
Of course.
Oh,
you cannot deny them a ride because they are Jewish. That's a protected class.
Can you deny me a ride if I show up with a child and I don't have a car seat?
I think their liability policy would mandate that you deny that ride.
Right.
Yeah.
I would.
If you don't have a car seat, I would deny that ride.
You're not getting in the car because the child will not be properly restrained. We'll talk about all of that when we get back, specifically the reason she was denied and why there is a lawsuit surrounding what happened in Michigan. Straight ahead. Okay, before we get to the topic at hand, the lawsuit was filed in the case we're about to tell you about in the state of Michigan, and there's a huge difference in that state and that state alone.
Michigan is the only state in the union that lists weight as a protected characteristic. Oh.
Is that different than class?
Yes.
Okay.
I would argue it is, but as
race,
far as
gender,
but as far as, yeah, because the protected class classes are on the federal level. And I mean, I guess they could have called it a protected class by Michigan law, but for whatever reason, they went with the word characteristic. The way I would read it, if I was a lawyer and I'm not, is that weight is protected.
Yeah, you I think that's just semantics.
You can't be discriminated against based on your weight.
Dot, 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 except when. And we're going to come back to that. Because okay. Is there an exception to that specific exemption? And we'll come back to that in a moment. You go.
All right.
I don't know why I don't want to talk about this,
you
but I don't.
Do it. You found the story. I didn't.
The headline says it all. Lyft driver refused woman a ride because of her weight. It was caught on tape. And she has sued. A Michigan woman is suing Lyft after a driver refused to give her a ride because of her weight. DeJoy Blanding shared video of the failed pickup on January 19th in an Instagram post that has since gone viral. Blanding happens to be a Detroit area rapper. She ordered a Lyft to get to a party at her cousin's house. And when the driver pulled up and saw her, he locked his doors and wouldn't let her in. Now, he was nice about it, Scott. But he said, I cannot let you in my car. You are too big. And you hear her in the video saying, I can fit in this car. He replies, no, believe me, you can't. He is apologetic, but doesn't budge. He says there's not enough room for you to fit and that his tires are, quote, too tired. That's his words. He explains that she will not be charged and then says, look, you're not going to be charged. I'm going to cancel the ride. Order a different vehicle. Order the XL.
Which, by the way, the XL literally means a larger vehicle.
Yeah. Uber's Lyft's come in all shapes and sizes.
Right.
An attorney representing Blanding says weight is a protected characteristic under Michigan law and that the driver's refusal to serve her was discrimination. It would be no different, he says, than a driver pulling up and saying, I don't want to have black people in my car. That's quoting from the attorney.
I disagree with that.
And I've got to disagree with that, too. Lyft is aware of the incident and unequivocally condemns all forms of discrimination. We believe in a community where everyone is treated with equal respect and mutual kindness. Here's why I ask you, is there a but, yeah, however, with weight as a protected class? There are going to be certain instances where safety could be an issue. I'm not saying this is one of them. Let's say this car was too small. Let's say this was one of those smart cars and the seatbelt would not fit around a rider that was in the back seat. At that point, is it still protected? And when safety comes in, like, you've been to Worlds of Fun before, Sam.
Correct.
There are height and weight safety standards where they will say, if you're over this height or over this weight, we cannot let you on the ride.
If you are over a certain size that does not fit the dimensions of that specific coaster, you are not allowed to ride on that coaster. And you brought up the seatbelt argument. I had an uncle who was very large, and we had to get a seatbelt extender for him and quite literally modify the seat so that he could drive his vehicle.
It breaks my heart. So, it just makes me sad.
Apparently, the Lyft ride was a Mercedes-Benz sedan, according to NBC News.
And it's a smaller Mercedes-Benz sedan. You know, they have the S. What are the classes of Mercedes-Benz sedans?
Well, there's C-class, which is the sedans, and then I believe the S-class is the SUV.
It's not the Maybach, the big one. It's the smaller sedan.
It's a sedan.
Yeah.
So anyway, it says here, when the driver arrived in a Mercedes-Benz sedan, she attempted to enter the vehicle. The driver locked the doors to his vehicle and tried to drive away. He explained that DeMoss was too big to fit in the back seat and his tires were not capable of supporting the plaintiff's weight. He drove off, and DeMoss, she goes by Dank DeMoss as a rapper, even though her real name is something else that you said earlier, was unable to attend her cousin's party. As a result, she says she suffered stress, humiliation, mental anguish, and emotional damage.
I feel terrible for her.
But let me ask you this. And being that weight is a protected characteristic in the state of Michigan, she may have an actual argument to make. But having said that, do you find it mildly ironic that the entire interaction was captured on video?
I was going to ask the same thing. Does it show the car pulling up? Was she filming before the car pulled up?
Was she preparing to be rejected?
I don't know.
So that she could have a lawsuit?
Or here's my question. Has she been rejected in the past and thought, you know what? Here comes a small, nicer car. I don't know. I wondered the same thing. And if you are wondering, Newsweek has the story. They list her weight. Does that matter?
Can I guess what it is? Is it north of 500?
It is 489 pounds.
Okay.
The Post has it too.
It is 480. And I do think this is humiliating for her, and that's why I feel so bad about this story. But I do think the weight matters. If it was a 300-pound person and you had a very small Kia, would we still be talking about this? I don't know. How does weight affect car performance? And at 500 pounds, I'm asking, could there be a negative effect on a small car?
The answer is yes.
Why? How do you know?
Suspension. The cars are rated to carry a specific load.
And okay, but if you had two people that were 250 pounds in the back seat, that's 500.
And that car is going to be drooped.
But it would be equally distributed under that scenario.
And how often do you have two 250-pound people in the backseat of a vehicle? Not often, because they probably won't fit. I don't fit in the backseat of most vehicles, and I'm a 250-pound man.
Yeah, a lot of the sedans, there's not a lot of legroom there in the back. Now, maybe you put her in the front, but then you got a 500-pound woman on the right side and a 200-pound man or less on the left side. I mean, do you ask her to get in the back seat and sit in the middle? I'm not trying to be funny.
I have comment, but yeah.
Or do you just ask her, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to discriminate against you, but my car cannot handle you, and you need to order an SUV.
I also believe that she ordered a special Lyft. I don't know what it's called on Lyft. On Uber, you can order like a nicer car. Like you can order
now,
a Tesla.
I know that some people, I'm going to say something that's probably going to get me in trouble, but I know that there are some people in this world, for whatever reason, They cannot control their weight. And they're just, you know.
It's a thyroid
issue
imbalance,
or metabolism. For whatever reason, their metabolism doesn't work very well. And they cannot maintain a healthy weight. And they're just naturally very large. But earlier, I think it was you, Sam, who was reading from something equating being black to being overweight. You're born black. Most people who are overweight because they don't practice healthy lifestyle.
Okay, these are the reasons, and this is just Uber, but Sam, please help me look up Lyft as we go to the break, and then we will continue on with your calls. These are the reasons you could be denied a ride. Aggressive language, disrespectful behavior, not being able to verify your identity through the app.
Drunkenness?
Let me look.
Drunkenness.
Intoxication is on there. Pending criminal charges. Not a conviction. Pending criminal charges. Those are listed as key reasons for a driver not accepting your ride.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. Tristan and the others, hang tight. We'll get to you, all of you, in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. The plot thickens.
Now, Scott, you read a story that said that she was headed to a friend's birthday party. Is that correct?
I believe it was a cousin's party, yes.
She told Fox 2 in Detroit that she was headed to a Detroit Lions watch party.
Okay, does it matter where she was headed? I think we need to focus.
Well, no, that's what it says. Yeah, at her cousin's house. Going to watch a Detroit football game. Yeah. So she's telling a consistent story. Tristan in North Kansas City. Hello, Tristan.
Guten Tag, Parks.
Guten Tag, mein Herr.
So I have a friend who is of the same weight of this lady. And when he has had to order Ubers and Lyfts, he has had to get the SUVs. He cannot get a sedan. And in the States, there is a requirement for all ride sharers and for people who, you know, who do any type of trafficking. You have to be able to, they have to be buckled in. And if they can't, that driver is responsible. And with Uber and Lyft, they say if you cannot buckle every person safely in your vehicle, you are not allowed to transport. They could lose their job for this. So,
We don't know, though, would the seatbelt have restrained her properly or not? I don't know that we know that.
But again, and that's where he should have gotten her in. If she said, can you buckle in? If she couldn't, then I'm sorry, I can't accept this ride. But, you know, that was his mistake. But methinks something does not smell kosher in young Denmark.
Thank you, Tristan, for the call.
Wow. Okay. So the Lyft website does not specifically state reasons that you can be rejected for a ride. It says, of course, there is an age requirement. A passenger is not allowed to be picked up if they are not over the age of 18 or with someone who is over the age of 18. No weapons, no smoking, no drug use. They do have an anti-discrimination policy that lists race, color, national origin, religion, gender, physical or mental disability, medical condition, marital status, age, and sexual orientation.
Okay, let me ask you this. Service animals generally are protected when we travel. We've seen that. Your emotional support peacock, notwithstanding. Can an Uber or Lyft driver decline a ride for someone who claims they are riding with a service animal? If it's my car, I'm an independent contractor for Uber or Lyft. Don't I have a say in whether your Great Dane gets into my Mercedes?
Well, but that would be easy to get out of. I roll up and you've got a dog with you. It's a service dog or whatever. I just tell you, I don't want your dog in my car. I'm allergic to dogs.
Okay, but I say my dog is protected because I am disabled and this dog goes with me wherever I go.
And I'm protected from not having a massive allergic reaction to your dog getting in my car.
That would be a safety risk to you. Your rights only extend so far as mine are not violated.
Somebody else's. That's right.
Where this guy messed up, and I hate to say it, was that he was too nice in his refusal of this ride. Had he rolled up his window and not said a word, there would be no lawsuit.
Then she wouldn't know why he drove off.
But since he specifically stated, you are too big to get in my car.
Well, but then, you know what, though? She could allege that it was because she's black, and now it becomes a federal lawsuit. Him not saying anything, I think, might have made it worse for him. Because now it's up to interpretation.
Do we know his race?
We do not.
I don't know.
Have you watched the video, Sam?
I have. He is blurred out. I can't tell.
I've read the transcript. I have not watched the video.
And from the video that I have seen, and granted, it's part of a news story, so I don't know if this is the full video, but it does not include the initial pulling up. It starts about halfway through the interaction.
Jim in Topeka, 913-586-7798, 586-7798. Jim, hello.
Hello there.
Hello.
I'm going to break it into a little more scientific deal on it here, because every tire has a maximum weight capacity on it, along with the tire pressure. So if that Uber driver was trying to pick up a little bit more tips and the rest of it in running his tires a little softer where it's smoother riding, it lowers the value of what weight he can carry. And those tires aren't rated for much. Like 1,000 pounds is kind of going to be a general deal on a small sedan. So if he had the tire pressure a little bit low, he was perfectly correct in doing it, and a DOT inspector could confirm it. So I'm not going to go above and beyond and say that he might be right that his tires couldn't hold her up.
And Jim, thank you for the call. Do you think we will see in the coming weeks or months an updated policy from Uber, who's watching this from afar going, thank God this was not one of our drivers, an updated policy that while we do not discriminate, I don't know that it would matter in the other states. In Michigan, could there be some policy where...
Well, it wouldn't matter in the
drivers
other states.
Drivers in super small cars are allowed... I don't even know how you would craft that without stepping in it.
Are you a big'un or a little'un?
No, that's not what it would say in the law. But you know what I mean. Could they update their service terms somehow?
And the reason I said that he would be free and clear had he just driven away and not said anything is because you have a right to refuse a ride whenever.
You don't have to have a reason. That's not true.
You don't have to have a reason to refuse a ride. I have ordered Ubers before, and they were 5 minutes away, and they canceled on me.
Right, but if they cancel because of the way that you look like you're black or Hispanic. I understand, but you know, get that in front of you. Do you think for 1 minute Lyft is going to let this case ever get to a trial? The answer is no. They're going to settle with her to get her to go away. And I would not be one bit surprised if she orders another Lyft or an Uber at some point and films that interaction. But, I mean, there has to be some protection for these drivers. I mean, to Jim's point, is it not true that there is only so much a car can handle? And she should have known to order an XL. She has to come to grips, and I'm not trying to be funny, and I won't be, but she has to come to grips with the fact that she is a very, very large woman. And when you see the picture of her standing next to her two attorneys, I'll say it if you don't want to, they're both fit, and it looks like both of them could fit inside of her body.
She is a very large woman.
Very large.
There's no denying that. And there's got to be a better way.
She knows better than to order a sedan. Come on. She knows that she needs a larger vehicle to fit her body size. And which makes me think that maybe she was trying to pick a fight. She wanted to be discriminated against based on her size so that she could have a lawsuit.
I don't know. I don't see it that way. I think maybe it had happened more than once, and she's like, I'm not doing this again.
But it's
humiliating.
Okay, I've never ordered a rideshare. Do you have to pick the size of the vehicle that you want?
You can, yeah. Right at the beginning, you can say a small one. You can say that. And I'm going to be honest. I never go with the very cheapest ride, not because I think I have more money. That is not accurate. A handful of times that I have had very bad rides with what I felt were unsafe cars. Like one car made a clank, clank, clank noise. I'm like, is this car about to fall over?
Right.
Filthy cars, cars that smelled terrible, were the very, very cheap lower end cars. And so I always go one more higher. And it's like $2 more. I mean, we're not talking $30.
There was one guy who played really loud, obscene rap music.
Yes, obscene music.
Yeah, and God. So you do pick essentially what style of vehicle you're going to get. If you just pick a regular Uber, it's kind of up in the air. You could get a nice car, you can get a not very nice car.
You could end up with one, Scott, that smells like there's a dead body in the trunk. Like, I've had that happen.
Do I remember this right, that you got into one car and the guy was listening to Dana and Parks, the bonus hour, and said, was telling you how much he hated the show?
No, that was my son.
Oh.
He's like, awkward. Listen to this idiot. My poor kid was like,
this guy's a moron.
Check, please.
Yeah, that's my mom's co-host.
Did you want a tip?
Dave and Raymore, hang tight. All the others do the same thing. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks. All right, let's wrap it up with Robert in Independence. Robert, hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'd like to comment on the lady there with the Lyft ride. As a multi-year car transporter, you know, these cars, especially like the Mercedes and your smaller compacts, or shouldn't say compacts, but fancier, smaller cars. Just take, for instance, Mercedes has here a C300. Let's just use that as a common class car. It's only got shoulder room at the widest rear point of 55.6 inches. Unfortunately, my wife's north of 400, and she's very broad. I hate to say it that way, but she is. And she's not going to fit in the back seat of a car like that. I mean, we have a van, and it's hard for her to even get in the back of a van. You know, so, I mean, I understand where this guy was coming from 100%. You know, I'm a guy well over 300 pounds, and even transporting these cars, getting in the front seat, I mean, you know, the front seat doesn't have much, even much more than that. They got 58 inches. That's not a whole lot, you know, and if that guy is 200 pounds, you know, 6 foot tall, he's going to have that seat back. So, you know, like the other gentleman said, and you did too as well, you know, you got to remember about restraint. You know, she can't sit to the center and use two seat belts, you know. I mean, you can't tie her in and make her safe.
So, Robert, then the question becomes, is that fact, if it is a fact, is that fact defense enough for the Lyft driver and or the Lyft organization, the company is who she's really suing? If there is proof that she would not have safely fit in that car, is there a lawsuit?
Well, there certainly is a defense. And, you know, my defense, if Lyft really wanted to go to trial, I would get kind of like, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. I would get, because you're not going to get the rapper plaintiff to demonstrate that she could get into the back of that car. Yeah. So you go get a 485-pound woman and try to get her into the back of a car and videotape it. Now, the plaintiffs would argue, well, you're doing that just like at the OJ trial where they took him off his medication and his hands swelled up. You're trying to make it look like she can't get into the back seat of a car when she probably could. Well, then take your client and have her get in the back seat of a C-Class Mercedes.
From the KMBZ email line, by the way, we have a text line, 913-586-7798. From the email line, I'm a real estate agent, and one of my clients, when I was selling houses, was morbidly obese. I let her ride in my car, of course, that's what you do. And I could literally hear the tires rubbing on the plastic of the wheel wells as I was driving.
Wow.
Yeah. The whole thing is just unfortunate.
Wow.
It just is. We'll keep an eye on it. Let you know what happens in court.
Did you say you had something
else? Yeah, when we come back, sad, sad story out of Missouri, where for some reason, the driver of a dump truck lost control and hit a house. Okay. Killing the man inside. That's not exactly why I want to talk about this story. Further on down in this story, Scott, police claim this is not the first time this house has been struck by a car.
Really?
And don't we all know that house on that dead man's curve, right? Mm-hmm. we've all seen houses that are on a curve. I passed one last night and said out loud to myself, God, I would not want to live there because of people on their cell phones. We don't know that that's what happened in this case.
No, but.
But if you have the house that has been struck more than once, like, first of all, real estate friends, do you have to disclose that?
Probably.
The one that is right on the street or right around a curve. We have all known those houses around town or businesses.
Yep.
Where there have been more than the fair share of oops, hit the gas instead of the brake. And, you know, now you got a drive through where you didn't mean to have one. We're going to talk about that straight ahead.
Okay. ABC News, a tree trimmer died after getting caught in a wood chipper while trimming trees at a town hall near Miami. The incident occurred at 9:30 yesterday morning when the Ocean Ridge Police Department responded to Ocean Ridge Town Hall, 60 miles north of Miami, for, quote, an accident involving one employee from a contracted tree trimming vendor. Upon arrival, Ocean Ridge officers found one person had died from injuries sustained in the accident. No, nobody else was hurt. OSHA's on the scene. Okay. A man has been reunited with his dog 8 years after the dog went missing. It was a reunion 8 years in the making when Paul Gilboot's dog, Damien, went missing in 2017. He never gave up hope that he would one day be found. But he can still...
At that point, I would be giving up hope.
But he can still hardly believe it. After a call came in from an unknown number earlier this month, he and his long-lost dog are finally back together. Says Paul, I still feel like it's a big dream. 8 years ago, Paul was moving across the country from Massachusetts to Arizona, where he now lives. During a pit stop in Oklahoma, Damien got loose from his leash and ran off. Paul, along with his father and a friend that he was traveling with, said they looked for Damien until well after midnight, only stopping for the day after they encountered a mountain lion. They stayed in Oklahoma another week searching for the dog, but nothing.
Oh,
I was just about to say, they just kept on driving, but no, they stayed for a week looking.
Stayed in Oklahoma for a week, finally gave up hope. Paul said it was heartbreaking. But 8 years later, the dog, Damien, has been found. And he is back with Paul for about another year until he has to put him down.
Really?
News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.